let's say, when we are experience our first significant snowfall and it's cold outside, it's hard for me to go back. But I was thinking the other day about my grandfather and how he was an avid fisherman. The more he fished, the better his mood, and fish never got away from him. A couple times a year, my grandpa would take my dad and my brothers and myself to a little lake close to Richmond, Indiana, to fish. Early in the morning, after loading all our gear into two rented fishing boats, we would push off the bank for the day, the whole day. We had to even beg for bathroom breaks, for crying out loud. I loved fishing on the boat, but I didn't always love the first few minutes as we got our sea legs. Every stroke of the oar would make the boat rock as I peered overboard into the dark, murky waters below. Especially in the early morning, it was very haunting down there. What's down there, I used to think. My imagination would go wild. What if a shark has been dropped off and is bound to get us or something like that, right there in Middle Fork Lake? What if the Loch Ness Monster moved to Indiana? What if an oversized catfish or a giant snapping turtle came and took us all down? In time, of course, I would get used to the boat and the safety of my surroundings, and with the knowledge that my dad and my grandfather would never let me to be thrown overboard or eaten or drown. But that sense of safety wasn't the case for the people in ancient times. They had legitimate fears of the waters below. They didn't know what was down there. Often, they were very dangerous things. Even the scriptures talk about sea monsters, the great unknown beneath the surface. They also had a great fear of storms, floods, or deluges of rain, which could certainly wipe out a village or even civilization without notice. Probably the only analogous fear for us is the giant tsunamis with their destructive power in the Pacific and Japan in recent decades. The power of water can be incredible. In our first reading, as God prepares to purify the earth, Noah is safe in the ark that floats above the chilling waters below. When the rain stopped, he saw the rainbow, a sign of new beginnings. It was also a sign to the human race that God forgives and brings salvation to his faithful people. And in a broader sense, the rainbow is a reminder that whatever the storms of life, God is faithful. God is present. The ark and the rainbow are signs of God's salvation. So as we know, flash floodwaters can kill, they can destroy, but today there are raging storms in life that can be destructive in a different way. Flooding rains that make many of us have experienced, the waters of greed, selfishness, lust, addictions of all kinds, materialism, and slothfulness. We have all seen these floodwaters and how they can destroy people of great promise and great strength. There's no question that in our world, it's a difficult and complicated place to live. Staying true to our values and morals, our baptismal priestly promises, our marriage vows, leaves us in a countercultural and often exhausting place to be, often in a very lonely place. Fidelity to a higher purpose and a higher power that is the God of the universe, isn't it highly regarded as it used to be? Many people have rejected the concept of God altogether. And we too, like Noah, need an ark to protect us. This is why the fathers of our faith likened the church to an ark, a place of refuge during troubled times. Like Noah's ark, the church navigates rough seas floating above the waters as a place of safety for her children. We are passengers on that ark through our baptisms. Our rainbow of promise is the Eucharist, God's abiding sign that he remains faithful to us during any storm, helping us to stay on course and above those difficult waters. But there is a lingering question as we fight those demons. That is, are we still in the ark? Lent is a time when we discern through our actions if we are still sailing in the ark or have foolishly jumped overboard in search of a better way that isn't to be found. Are we swimming through rough waters that a sinful life whips up against us? We know definitively that God is faithful to us. The question is, are we faithful to Him and the church that He gave us? This burning question is answered during the Lenten season as we contemplate the great mysteries of our faith, supported by our Lenten practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. The pillars of the Lenten season, which also serve as the pillars of our Lenten self-scrutiny, leading to an even deeper question, that is, again, have I jumped ship? Have I turned away from the Lord? And if so, how do I get back in the boat with Jesus? First, we scrutinize our prayer during the Lenten season. Do we pray? Are we given time over and with a communion with God? When do we pray? Is it dedicated time of prayer, or is it haphazard and sometimes rushed? I have to admit, at times, that's right, you're a pastor, I get caught up in the day-to-day and sometimes end up saying morning prayer, noonday prayer, evening prayer, and night prayer at 10 o'clock at night. That's not right. That's not good. How often do we pray? Is it regular? Or is it only during times of desperation and need? Great prayers in and of themselves, perhaps it's not as substantial as it should be. Is an intensely personal and intimate or wrought and uninspired prayer life motivating us today? Secondly, we scrutinize our lives through our fasting and abstinence. Too often today, we are controlled by what we own and our desire for more. More food, more clothing, bigger houses, more prestige. Self-denial helps us to tame our appetites, and it helps us to decrease the pull of the natural world over the far more important supernatural one, that we are destined most especially for God and cannot let things distract us. And finally, we are called to almsgiving, to works of charity. Almsgiving helps us to see the universal over the individual. It helps us to realize that life isn't always about me. It reminds us of our communal responsibilities to our brothers and sisters in the human family, especially those who are poor and forgotten. And in the process, it helps us to create a world that we want to live in. During the weeks of Lent, we'll be hearing a lot about the covenant. We know full well of the old covenant that was made between God and His people, renewed and described over and over in the Old Testament. Of course, the Old Testament gave way to the most perfect covenant given to us in Jesus Christ, sealed by His blood on the cross, and in which we are sealed in baptism. Through that covenant, Jesus is with us much the same way as a spouse, in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, and until death. Can we say the same for ourselves? Are we faithful to the covenant that God has formed with us? Sometimes when we jump ship and are drifting, we look for love, happiness, and truth in all the wrong places and come up empty, disappointed, and broken in sin. It is a spiritual battle to return to the ark of the church. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church reminds us that this battle is an essential part of life in Christ. That all of human history is an epic struggle against the powers of evil. So we are to repel the enemy, starting with our own Lenten observances. We may not feel up to the task, but we're not alone. Following Jesus' example, empowered by His Holy Spirit, we can return and take our place in the ark of Christ's church and experience the victory won by Christ on the cross.